Well, I got my friend Brandon on stage with me this morning. We're not going to co-preach the whole time, but he's going to share some testimonies as each week in this series we have wanted to highlight some testimonies from people within our Christ the King Church family of how serving has made an impact of them displaying their love for Christ through his church. So last week we highlighted the food pantry outreach program ministry, and this week we want to highlight and ministry within that serves you. But before that, if you could share about your health and what's been going on recently that hindered your serving and how your body's been affected recently, because it all ties together.
For about 10 years, I've had pretty severe carpal tunnel in my right wrist, and I went out for surgery back at January 13th to finally get it taken care of. And that put me out of service for about a month. So this is my first Sunday back able to serve on the worship team.
Yeah. And we didn't even, you know, time that all out. God just worked it out for his good and his glory. And what, you know, inspired you to start serving through worship music?
I started playing with a Christian rock band with my dad and my brother. We did that for probably 10 or 15 years. And before then, I played in other bands, and I just felt like God gave me the talent to play. I should use it for him. So I began serving, I think, probably 2007, somewhere. I've been all around. And it's just important for me to use my gifts for God, since he's the one who gave them to me.
Yeah. And how did, you know, the struggle with your hand impact your daily life and your serving capabilities?
It would wake me up in the middle of the night 5 or 6 times, so I never really rested well for a long time. And when you have a part of your body that feels disconnected from the rest of you, it just affects everything about you. You just feel like there's something missing or something's wrong. So even serving, your hand would go numb, and you're just flopping around hoping you're hitting the right strings. So,
well, we didn't notice too much, but
I noticed.
Yeah. And, you know, what was that like for you? I mean, why do you still want to jump back in right away? You know, you jumped back in this morning as soon as you could. You were playing up until the week of your procedure where you couldn't. So why?
I had to cram it in. I had to play as much as I could. So I played Sunday, went out Monday for the surgery, and I wanted to get back as soon as I could because it's such a big part of my life to be able to serve and to see the congregation with their hands raised and worshiping. It's not something I take lightly being on this team. The Bible says in Psalm 33:3, it says to sing to him a new song and to play skillfully on the strings. So that's what I try to do with a loud shout. And I didn't hear any shouting this morning. Miss Pat's not here. But it's not something I take lightly. And our whole team having such a responsibility to lead you guys into a place where you could raise your hands and worship God and nothing else. Mm-hmm. It's a great responsibility, and we don't take it lightly one bit.
Yeah. How has serving in that ministry changed your life?
It's made me a better person, a better follower of Christ, and honestly a better musician, because it's challenged me.
I lost my train of thought there.
There was something else I was going to say. But
yeah, there was another verse that was on your heart, too, about, you know, an Old Testament verse that meant a lot to you about how you're impacted.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. The way I've been impacted. It's caused me to just pray every day for God to help me to be a good representation of him, to control my tongue. Isaiah said he was a man of unclean lips, and God took a coal from the altar and touched him with it. And I don't want to do that. I don't want that additional surgery. So It's tough to live out in the world where you're constantly tempted to say the wrong thing or to not be a good representation. So that's my prayer every morning, is to be a good representation of Christ.
Yeah, and that's an awesome redemption story too, of, like you said, the wrestling of, you know, taming that behavior in the world when you're serving on a team that's using their voice and their hands and their feet for others to be able to use their voice for worship. I mean, that's a cool redemption of how God can change what is a struggle in the world for his glory in the church. That's really awesome. Absolutely. What would you say to anybody to jump in and serve?
Definitely get plugged in, because once you're part of a team and you're serving God, it could be anywhere. Kyle wanted me to say that if you know how to do cameras or production or lights, to see them. But we always need people. We need people. He said, we don't need any more children's ministry people. We got enough there. Children's and hospitality. We need production, and we need band people. If you can play, and we're not going to turn you away. If you can do something, if you can say, hey, you can take care of kids, we always need people.
Yep.
But get plugged in, because it's a rewarding experience that you can have every Sunday.
Yeah, I love that. So thank you for sharing your story and the struggles of it, but how God's been using you all through it. And let's just give it up some encouragement for sharing that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And it lined up perfectly with what Brandon was sharing about, specifically his hand affecting so much of his serving, life, work, body, mind, state of mind, and how one aspect of the body can impact so much more negatively or positively. And that leads us into the scripture. When we are looking this series into loving Christ and loving his church, this morning, seeing how the church is the body of Christ on earth. The church is the body of Christ on earth. So this image of the body and how each part of it is valuable and how one part suffers, it can drastically impact the rest of the body, is an image used in this scripture passage in 1 Corinthians 12. That was written by the Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth. And the Apostle Paul used to go against the church. He used to despise the church, and he had an anger to put as many in the church in chains and in prison as he could until he met Jesus. Then Jesus changed him by saying these words, "It's I, Jesus, the one you are persecuting." Jesus had ascended to heaven at that point. So how was Paul hurting Jesus when Jesus had ascended to heaven? Because Paul was hurting the church of Jesus. And Jesus associates with his church and with you, his people. But God didn't stop Paul there. He redeemed Paul and used his passion to strengthen the church that in his flesh he used to try and silence the church. That's a redemption story. And he writes this about the importance of the body, using the human body anatomy as an illustration for us to grasp what God wants to teach each of us. So if you have your Bibles or your study notes to take notes, it's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to be going through these verses, 14 through 27, together. Hear about the value of each part, where there's honor and dishonor, where there's lack and need, and what God has to say to you to become an active member in his body of his church on earth. It reads, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where could be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts on the body that we think are less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. God gives honor, that there may be no division in the body, but that all the members may have the same care for one another. So if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually you are members of it. That was a long one. He repeated, you are the body, and the body, and the body, countless times, because it is so important. And in this church, we saw that they were struggling with favoritism, with viewing some gifts or service opportunities as more valuable than others, as some gifts as more holy or spiritual than others. And that created some type of separation in their church that God wanted to reunite, where there might have been a possibility for greater division to occur. And he writes this to remind them, you are a small piece of a great human body that represents Jesus. So if some of you are serving as the hands, don't think the person that is serving as a potential ear is less valuable, less necessary, or less important than you or your work. But instead, honor them, because God gives honor. It's important to think, what part are you in Jesus' body, which is his church on earth? What part do you play in that? So it says that something happens praiseworthy when the body comes together as one team. It says all rejoice together, that there is something worth praising. Each week we have been going through these 4 points of what the scriptures tell us when we love Christ and his church. It leads us to a life of praise, a life of giving, a life of serving, and a life of praying. Those 4 parts we wanted to make simple and practical for you. So there are pledge cards, these very long, thin cards that are on the seat backs in front of you. That's for every individual in every household to take. We don't want them to stay in the chairs. We want them to go home with you today if you haven't taken one or filled one out yet. To make those tangible next steps prayerfully where God is leading you to grow in those aspects in his body, which is the church. And we see that there was something praiseworthy in that passage we read, because in verse 26, it said, if one member is honored, all rejoice together. That's the beautiful sight of what the church can and should be. Praising together because someone else won. Celebrating each other's victories and triumphs. Praising because you are a member of Christ's body. That is an honor. The God who knows all things about us, who knows all places we have been, all thoughts we have had, all words we have said, and all deeds we have done, good and wicked, still invites us to be redeemed and a part of his work through his body on earth. That's what grace looks like, and that's what family in the church can look like, celebrating victories together. So where can you praise God? Because you get to be a part of his work on earth. That word member, when it says each part, body part's a member, isn't just talking about church membership, like become a member and join, but it meant the word member was referring to limbs or ligaments, like each body part is necessary. Each body part affects the other. And then it talks about giving in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24, how God is a giving God and we should follow. At the end of that, it says, but God has so composed the body, meaning the church, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Where was God giving? He was giving towards the parts that lacked honor. Where are the parts that you see that someone needs to be lifted up? Where are the places where there is not honor, but there is dishonor, there is criticism, there is putting each other down, where you want to see the honor enter? Maybe God has given you the discernment or the eyes to see or the ears to hear where there is a lack of honor in a place in his church or in this world and community so that you can start bringing honor and showing those around you what it looks like to be a person of honor, to use your words to honor, to use your actions to lift others up, not tear them down. Because God gives honor. So where do you follow giving honor? If you want to give honor, give towards God's purposes. Give towards God's purposes and honor will happen. Everywhere Jesus walked, he honored those who were dishonored in society, that were looked down upon, that were looked as too sinful to come into his presence, too unhealthy to walk into the synagogues, too sick to be around others. And Jesus went to them and showed them honor. And people thought he was insane, saying, do you know what you are doing being around that person? But Jesus gave honor, and that's the Jesus we praise and we worship and we look to, and we look to be like to someone else who needs honor, who is not used to receiving such honor. And do you know how God has honored you? How God has picked you up and honored you? When we forget to honor or give attention or focus towards a certain area of the church or of the body, it affects all other things. There was a time in my life where I was working out with a buddy and we started progressing in the weights on the squat rack a little too quickly. To the point where afterwards my legs felt, you know, a different type of soreness and tightness that I had not felt before. And I just thought, well, I need to keep stretching so I'm not crazy sore the next day. Well, the next day I wasn't able to get up and down the stairs too easily. I had a tear in my quadricep muscle from progressing too quickly and overdoing that. And I thought, wow, you know, that just one muscle was just too weak and I stretched it too far. But then I go to physical therapy. And if you've been to physical therapy, you know that it's like they've learned how to speak the truth to you directly, but in love, like the Bible says. Sometimes it's a little convicting, but it's for our benefits. And they tell me how weak my leg was. I'm like, thank you for that. You know, I needed that while I'm down. And I thought they were going to tell me how weak that one muscle where I had that muscle tear was. But instead, they were telling me, no, it's because the other muscles on your legs or around it were weak, that this muscle had to overwork and overcompensate to make up for the lack around it. If you had done more calf workouts or hamstring work, and they could help you out, then your quadricep wouldn't have to have taken all that weight. We're going to need to strengthen those other areas around that before we strengthen that one muscle. And I had not expected that. I expected, all right, they got to strengthen that muscle that's weak that I tore. But they started with strengthening everything around it that I had not given honor, focus, or attention to as much as I needed to. So what are those things in your life and in your walk with Jesus that he wants you to give more focus, more attention to, Because if you and I don't work those things out in our spiritual muscles now, it's going to affect other areas of our life later, like my leg did. So what is your thing? What is your thing? That maybe you feel down, or that this is affecting your life, or a sin you're struggling with, that might be your torn quadricep in your spiritual journey. But God wants to invite you to go deeper than that and say, don't just think that's the issue, go deeper. Look at the other areas of your life that may have impacted or led to that downfall, led to that addiction, led to that. There is something deeper there that God wants to heal and strengthen and redeem and use one day for his glory. So what's that for you, where you need to give honor, just like I needed to give honor to those pieces of my muscle groups that I had just thought, oh, they're good. I'm walking a lot. I'm running a lot. They're okay. But no, I needed to give more honor. So that's what honor can look like for you. Focusing on the parts that you've neglected in your spiritual walk for too long and searching deeper when you see negative results or sinful habits coming up, letting God search your heart deeper than what you think the real issue is and bring to you the healing and the path forward that he has for you. Next, we need to see what serving in the body of Christ looks like and what God's desire for that was. Not to be served, but to serve God, as Jesus did and gave his life up for you and for many others. So what does it look like to serve God by serving others? To serve God by serving others. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 and 10 is an Old Testament passage from the wisdom books that show us this really well. And it says what it looks like to be there for the other and therefore serve God. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil, their work. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him, danger to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. There are times in your life where you need that helping hand. Will you be bold enough and humble enough to say, I need help, and reach out your hand for help, or be honest through a confession to the body of Christ? There are times in your life where you're healthy enough to reach down and strong enough to pull somebody else up out of the struggle that they have found themselves in. Do you have the eyes to see them? God gave the people of Israel the concept of a Sabbath, a day's rest from their works. And in Isaiah 58, he talks to them and says, Sabbath time isn't just for you to recover and not work and get some good sleep and rest. Sabbath is also, in Isaiah 58, a day so that you can slow down from the hustle and bustle and see the needs of those around you and lift up the oppressed and clothe those who need it, and feed the hungry. He said Sabbath was meant so you can slow down and see where God is calling you to serve your neighbor. Because if we're going too fast all the time, 6 days a week, we might just miss our neighbor. And we might just miss seeing the needs that the body has. So you can serve God by serving others. Where will you jump into? And if you have jumped into service, to volunteer team, to other aspects of serving in your household and in the church, what will it look like to keep your spiritual body healthy so you can keep going without tearing something that was not taken care of? What does a healthy spiritual life look like for you in the body? Next, we see what a life of prayer can look like in the body. And when we neglect to pray and see the body, see the church, and see the people around us, and we stay in isolation or loneliness, we miss out on prayer. Elijah was an Old Testament prophet who did many miracles, and he said this. Before he prayed, he went to all these people who were worshiping a false god called Baal in the Old Testament in the Middle East. And Baal, there's many records about many different people groups throughout ancient Mesopotamia of the Middle East worshiping and making idols and carvings to this thing called Baal. And Elijah was trying to get people to praise the God of Israel and to walk away from this worship of Baal. And he just felt alone in it. He felt that he was getting, you know, punched left and right. And they actually put a price on his head to kill him. And out of his loneliness, desperation, and running for his life, he tells all of the people this. He says in 1 Kings 18:22, "Then Elijah said to the people, 'I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men.'" Remember that number. Remember that number. Baal's prophets are 450 men. Because that's what he told the people. "I see I'm alone, but there's 450 of them." But look at what happens next. When Elijah fled and he slowed down to be able to pray to God and be fed by God in the desert and talk to him and listen, God told him this in 1 Kings 19, verse 18. God said, "Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." How many did Elijah see was on the enemy's team? How many? 450. Then God finally said, "Look who's on your team and my team." How many? 7,000. Just imagine how encouraging that must have been for him in that moment. When you feel alone and isolated and you find out there's somebody else with you in it that has stayed healthy, that is strong, that is on the same path forward. How encouraging is that? But Elijah had to slow down. He was getting chased for his life, so he didn't have much time. If anyone has an excuse, he probably did, that he did not have enough time. Yet when he finally went alone with God in the desert, and then you know what happened next? God sent him back, gave him some food and a nap, which always helps us, and sent him back, getting ready to find his battle partner named Elisha. Now it's kind of confusing. There's Elijah with a J and Elisha with a SH. He finds that next guy that was going to stay in the ministry with him and stay in the battle with him to worshiping God and getting the nation back to God until Elijah would be taken up into heaven. He was alone and isolated. It impacted his prayer life and his ministry. The discouragement was setting in and he was ready to just ask for God to kill him. And in fact, God encouraged him and God sent him a battle partner to fight with him in the Lord's battles on earth. Isolation will kill us. And our prayer life might just be one of the places where we see it rise to the surface. Because then Elijah and Elisha began praying together, serving together, doing miracles together, and speaking boldly to get people back to the heart of God together as a team. Because you need the church, and the church needs you. God does not need you and me, but God, by his grace, chose us, redeemed us, and says, "Let me use you as the potter. You be my clay. Let me form you and use you for a good purpose." Will you say yes? Will you say yes? And your purpose will become much more visible the more you live and are active in the body, which is his church. Where even those insecurities, even those weaknesses, even those struggles of your past or part of your story can be used and changed for his glory and for the good of somebody else. You're all here because you have a story of what God is doing or has done in your life, what he's teaching you or showing you now as you seek him or continue seeking him. For me, one of the things that God has bought back, redeemed, and changed in my life was my voice. My voice was an insecurity for me where I wouldn't speak up as much at the meetings or around the tables. I wasn't as confident with my insight being as valuable as the insights of those around me. I just thought, well, they have something better to say, so why speak up? And then funny enough, my voice was called to action in elementary school in the school play. I did not sign up for this role, but I was given it in the Charlie Brown school play as Linus. If you've ever seen or read anything about Charlie Brown, Linus is known for carrying what? A blanket. that was not just an imagery. They gave me the blanket, and I had to carry that the whole play in front of my school and family in elementary school, to my embarrassment. And then not only that, they wanted to give me a solo to sing with my blanket and for everyone else to leave stage just to let me do the solo. The singing parts, the acting parts, the movement, dances, all that stuff. And I am terrified. Trying to do whatever I can to resist this. You know, the camcorders were being brought out, and I'm just embarrassed and thinking, what if I get sick? What if my voice cracks? What if I pass out? What if, what if, what if? Have you ever asked God that when he called you to step up? But what if? I did it. Luckily, my voice might have cracked, probably did, but I didn't get sick on stage. I didn't pass out. I made it through okay. My worst fear had come to life, and it was okay. That insecurity was just brought to the surface before all to see, just like today. And now how has God changed that insecurity for his glory? He's using my voice to share his word. As I stand up here, that insecurity has been changed and used now for something for his glory and his church, all of you, to be encouraged by, built up by, strengthened by, and brought near to the cross of Christ by. What's that thing for you? What's that thing for you that God may have been trying to bring to the surface for you, to get you to step up into action to, but there has been resistance or there has been too many what ifs? There's been, God, I've done this and that. I've said this and that. I'm not ready for the solo yet. We never are. We just have to jump in and watch what God will do in and through you as we sang his vessels. Because you need the church, and the church needs you. Will you jump in? The first step is saying yes to Jesus, the one who gave up his body on the cross to be beaten and crucified for your sins and mine, so that we could become a member of his body, his spiritual body here on earth, to let people know that they are loved, that they can be forgiven, that there is a God who created them and came down to save them and can deliver them from the things of loneliness, of isolation, of the struggles, and of the addictions. The more you act, the more visible your purpose will become. So to close, there's a passage in Ephesians 4 that says, this is the duty of the body. And even these leaders that the early church was looking to, he said, don't look to them to do all the work in the body. Look at them to do something like this. Ephesians 4, 9 through, or 11 through 12 says this. And God, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The work of the church is to give you a role in the body. It's ready for you, but you have to take that step of faith, to walk by faith and not by sight when it doesn't make sense to say, yes, I will give. Yes, I will praise with others. Yes, I will pray with others and for others. And yes, I will serve Jesus by serving those around me. And who's in it with you? Elijah needed a battle partner. Who's in it with you? I was told once that I need to reflect and think, who's that person ahead of me that's leading me, a Paul in my life? Who's that person alongside me that's in it with me, the Barnabas in life, which is, these are all New Testament men in the early church. And who's that person that I am leading from the next generation into the love of Jesus, that Timothy? Paul was a leader leading people. Barnabas was a mission partner doing it together. And Timothy was someone following a leader to grow into being a leader. A healthy disciple has all three, but rarely do we have all three. God knows that, and by his grace, he helps us fill those gaps. So who's leading you? Who's in it with you? And who are you grabbing a hold of to come with you as you chase after Jesus? A healthy disciple has a Paul, a Barnabas, and a Timothy. Where do you need to jump in? So to close, I just want to invite you, reflect on that pledge card there's four opportunities to fill in those blanks, and next week we're going to present them to God. If you've been serving, if you've been giving, that's still a commitment to offer unto God this year that we're asking every one of us to prayerfully consider, to actually tangibly write down, and then we're going to give them to God next week, and Pastor Craig's going to share some more about that. But to jump in, if you're serving, what would it look like to commit to prayer more freely and regularly in your year? If you're giving, what would it look like to commit more to serving through your time and actions? What would that look like? Or if you're feeling like you're in isolation or you're needing just to commit to a church body, to say yes to praising God with others and to committing to a church family to walk with, to be discipled and to disciple someone else in, will you say yes? It starts with saying yes to the one who gave up his body so you could become a part of his body here on earth. For you are his hands and you are his feet. Like Brandon shared earlier, where we are weak, God can be strong. Where we feel like a disability is kicking in, God can redeem it and heal it and teach us something in the waiting season of it. So what's that thing for you, that voice or that muscle that you need to stretch spiritually and work out in his church? Because those who love Christ love his church, and those who love the church love Christ. So in closing, I want to invite us to stand together. If you would stand if you're able. And there's going to be a prayer that we will read together that was written beautifully in the 16th century that the church has recited for many years, written from Teresa of Avila. And let us recite this together, believing this over ourselves, taking a statement of faith together. It says, let's read together. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes, yours are his body. Christ has no body now but yours. Just take a moment and look that over again. Do you believe that? Where do you question that? Where do you question that he can use you? Bring that to God. Watch what he'll do through that. And use that in the church. For where we are weak, he is strong. If there's something on your heart that you want prayer for, or you, like Elijah, might just need encouragement, or you're ready to take a next step in your faith with Jesus, there'll be prayer partners in the back to pray and encourage you for anything that you may share. And there'll also be Holy Communion in the front for anybody who would like. The table is open for all to come as one body and one Christ to come together. But now go in peace and serve the Lord as his hands and feet into the world. Go with God, church. Amen. Amen.